Thank you, Lord, tonight that you hear our prayers, God, as we pray for the people of the city, God. We thank you that you've placed us here, not just to, Lord, be chilled out on holiday and just to see life pass by, God, but you've called us, Lord, for a purpose, God, and so thank you that all of us can also just know that we've been placed in this city to make a difference. And tonight we start, Lord, by just praying that eyes would open, Lord, to see you, God. And we thank you also for opportunities, Lord, to meet people who don't know you. We thank you tonight that, Lord, you choose to use us, Lord, to spread your gospel. You choose us as your church to be a light and to be salt to this city. And so we thank you for everyone who's in business in this place. We thank you for everyone who's studying. That all of us, God, have got appointments, and Lord, we know people who don't know you. And so we thank you that we ask for more of them. We ask for more opportunities with people out there in this city who don't know you. And we thank you, God, that we can welcome them even into this house, God. We can call them in into this church, God. We know that they would find a home here because we have found a home here, Lord. And so we don't only want to be comfortable here, Lord. We want to welcome our house and our church to other people as well, Lord. So we ask that you would give us grace as well to be able to welcome others into this place, God. And so we thank you tonight that even as we pray, we also start to give you our hearts, Lord, and prepare our hearts to really make disciples, God, to really prepare, Lord, this place and prepare our hearts for people that need to be discipled, God, and to people that need to be brought into relationship with you. But Lord, you also choose to use us. So thank you for very specific relationships to be established, Lord. And that through that, people can be drawn to your love and experience your amazing love, Lord. We thank you tonight. We thank you for this place. We say, let your kingdom come, Lord, in this city. Let your will be done, Lord, in our lives, through our lives, until Jesus comes back again. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, amen. Isn't it awesome to be in the house of the Lord? Thank you, band. Guys are amazing. It's awesome to experience God's goodness. And I just want to, before I start preaching, I would like someone just to share a quick testimony. We gaan vir Pierre vra om net te getuig oor wat hy ervaar het vanoggend in die community seminar. Pierre did one of our spiritual growth series. It's called the community, the second seminar, and he just experienced really God's love and God's blessing upon just being obedient to do the seminar. So let's listen to what Pierre says.
Hi everyone. I'm going to do this in Afrikaans because English isn't so well. Ons vandag het F2 gedoen en gaan oor het waarvoor sy verstaan, weet, wat glo ons als en hoe dinge in die kerk werk en so aan. En is rarig nog ons my baie leersom, goeie ervaring. En op een stadium te praat ons oor authority en ons praat oor offense neem, vooral in die kerk. En ek het ons een bykie vergeer afvan, maar ek het op een stadium het ek offense geneem juist oor die foundations. Ek het op stadium gevoel, staan allemaal professor en sel, het jy al die foundation gedoen, kerk, brother foundation, en in F2 aan die einde, teken jy, weet, een contract, of jy vul jou details in, en jy krij jou lidmaatskap. En ek is nou al, ek denk van 2010 af in die kerk, verlede jaar toe ons die members, weet, new membership, diens, en ek het nog F2 gedoen nie, weens verskeie redes, tyker te besig, tyker oor die idee wat my kop vastgevat het van, hoekom moet ek foundations doen? Hoekom gaan die kerk my eerst dan aanvaar? En dit het so al hoe meer en meer te begin denk, maar ek het al nie lis om dit te doen, verstaan. Hoekom moet ek dit eerst doen? En dit is eigenlijk die simpel idee, want iemand het my gesê, weet jy wat, Perie, jy het nie F2 gedoen nie, so jy kan nie gedoop word nie. Perie, ek denk jy kan myself te kom nie, ons wacht hier vir jou F2 klote maak, verstaan. En, het was rarig vir my awesome ding. So, ek wil rarig aanmoedig, hierdie naweek is F3, en ek sien mal baie uit daarna, en ek hoop rarig, daar is genoeg mense wat het belangstel soort ons kan doen. So, as jy belangstel om een levens veranderende ervaring te hierdie naweek, asseblief, sit julle name op vandag, na die diens.
Thank you, Pierre. What a blessing. We're going to have a new member service for those guys who did commit to becoming members. So we really We're really excited about that. Many of you are already, and you experienced the blessing of just committing to the church and being part of the body. So I really do want to encourage you guys to do the foundations. It's not there just because we think we want to do a F1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you're sort of on different levels. In Stellenbosch, when Shofar started, the people thought like we were on different people on different spiritual levels. You know, you're like, first you've done the one, so now you're on level one, and eventually when you get to the five, then you're on level five. But, you know, it's not about that. It's just really about growth and about what Pierre experienced today in the community seminar. One of the sessions was about dealing with offense and relating to authority in church. And many times we have those issues. And the way to deal with this is to come to learn the truth and then to really set yourself free from any offense or problem that you have with authority or money. We talk about money as well in the community seminar. And the first seminar, the perspective one, we'll have another one in March. So if you guys do want to learn about salvation and about baptism and all these things, then come and do it. We have these spiritual growth series courses for your good, and not, you know, we've all done it and we've been so blessed by it, and that's why we want to present it to you guys. We want you guys to grow and to experience God's fullness. So it's not only about coming to church, and I really want to get you guys excited about not only church and a cell group, but we have so many opportunities to grow in church life. And in small group, it's also important to really find relationship and to slot in. You know, the best way to really get involved in the church is just to say, "Yara, I am. Where can I serve?" And there's so many opportunities in this church to serve. And you know, serving is the best way to be blessed. If you want to be blessed, serve. There's just some amazing guys on duty even right now in the service. Just, you know, not actually focusing on the service, but focusing on serving and focusing on how can I improve the service? How can I make the service great for people? And those people are going to be more blessed than us just sitting, hearing the word and leaving again. The people who are involved are the most blessed. So I really want to invite you guys all, just to, because it's not for us. We don't necessarily need people. We can always get other people to do it, but we want you to be blessed. And a few of us can do a lot of work. And you know, most businesses have this 80-20 principle where 20% of people are doing 80% of the work, and most churches have that as well. And we don't want that in Shofar. We want to have 80% of the people doing 100% of the work, you know. Or obviously there are going to be people that are still growing. But once you're in the church and you've decided this is your home, come and serve. Come and give yourself. Give of your talents. I learned the most about managing people when I was a head usher in Stellenbosch. I was doing what Linda's doing tonight. The guys on duty are to manage them, are to, you know, inspire them. That's how I learned about people. I just started working, and I never knew about managing people. The best way to learn is in church. And I want to encourage you students, before you get into the workplace, you can learn so much here in church. You will probably learn more in church about managing people and about working with people and about just life than you will even in your studies. Because, you know, in our studies, we just don't, in our books the whole time, it's theory. But I can tell you what I learned the most was in Shofar, where I started to commit and to serve people and to grow with just, you know, using or, you know, working with people and enjoying relating to people. Because people are the biggest challenge in life, amen? And so I've got the biggest job, okay? Because I've got you guys to manage, you know, you guys to shepherd, to pastor. People are the biggest challenge, okay? Only joking. But you see, many times we can get into our little heads and we're very task-focused and we just focus on the task at hand. But when it comes to people, if we can learn how to manage people and work with people and lead people, then we can be the greatest blessing in life. And we can have the greatest fulfillment, because that ticks the heart of God. God's heart is ticked when we focus on others and when we love other people. But I'm getting a little bit off the topic tonight, so I'm really excited that you guys are all here. I just want to say, you could have probably been anywhere else tonight, but you're here in the house of God. Isn't that amazing? So I think you must just turn to someone next to you and say, it's exciting to be in the house of God this evening. Welcome to the house of God. Say to someone next to you, welcome to the house of the Lord this evening. I almost wanted to say you could have been at the beach right now, but I guess we're not at the coast. You know, if we're in a coastal town, we could have said, hey, maybe on a day like this, you could have been at the beach. But I don't know in Bloemfontein where else you could have been. But there are definitely quite a few other places you could have been. But you're here in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. So I trust that you're going to be blessed tonight. We've got a very exciting word for us this evening. I believe God just wants to draw us closer to Himself tonight. And all the songs that we're saying were all about just drawing into God and really saying, Lord, we want to know You. We want to be excited about who You are. And, you know, we serve an awesome God. And in this city and in this country even, you know, God sometimes is many times just a part of our lives. You know, we go on with our everyday life and we just sort of, God is just also there as part of this busy lifestyle that we have. But you know what? God is not just a part of our lives. He is our life. Amen. God is our life. God is our everything. He is your life. He's my life. You see, and there's no more place for religion. And you know, in this country, we and I guess we're a bit better than the rest of the world, especially in Europe where there's religion has even died. But in South Africa, we tend to have a lot of religion here. You know, and God is not one. Religion breeds mediocrity. Religion breeds where a place where you just sort of sit back and you say, you're okay. You know, I'm just sitting in a pew. I'm sitting in a church and I'm okay. You know, that's what religion says. It breeds mediocrity. It breeds a place where you just think, you know, your life is okay. You don't really need a change. But you see, a relationship. We're not called to that. We're called to a relationship with Jesus. We're called to radical Christianity. And radical Christianity means change. Lots of change taking place in your life. So if you're prepared to grow and you're saying, God, I need to be changed, I need to grow, then you're at the right place tonight. Amen. But if you don't want to, if you want to just sit in mediocrity, and I trust none of us, that's why you're here this evening. And I want to commend you. Because you're not here because of mediocrity. You're here because you want to grow. You want to hear the word of God. You want to be inspired and challenged and changed. You see, so we are not called for mediocrity. We are called for radical, radical Christianity. And I believe in this city especially, there's a spirit here which just says it's okay. Just go to church and you're fine. And even in this nation, religion breeds that mediocrity, but I believe God, as a church, He wants us to grow to a place where we can be inspired by His Word, where we can be inspired by His presence. And yeah, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, now just to give you a bit of background here, Daniel received a vision from the Lord. There were two kings, and the Lord showed him that there were two kings that were going to fight, the kings of the north and the south, and I'm not going to go into all that history and everything. Go and do some research on Daniel's vision if you want to. But it's in chapter 11. But Daniel sees this vision and there's two kings fighting. They're both evil kings. They're fighting this war. And they both, in the end, want to destroy one another. Obviously, the one wants to destroy the other one. And so it's actually quite an interesting thing. Because, you know, if two evil people fight against each other, then the good people, it's actually great. Because there's such confusion. They'll just eventually kill each other and God will prevail and the good will prevail. But obviously, in the end, God does prevail. But the thing is, yeah, the king of the north was so bad that he also wanted to destroy the temple and he wanted to destroy the covenant and the people who had covenant with God. Okay, now this is where this verse comes in. This is just a little bit of background. It hasn't got much to do with my sermon apart from the second part of this verse. It says, yeah, those who do wickedly against the covenant, it's talking about the king of the north now, he shall corrupt with flattery. In other words, he's saying, yeah, that king, if you're not fully focused on God, If you're doing wickedly and you resist the covenant of God, you resist the temple and His things, the things of God, then it says He will flatter you with corruption and you will continue to do wickedly. But it says, yeah, the second part, and that's what I want to focus on. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So turn to someone next to you and say, great exploits. Do you want to carry out great exploits? I want to ask you this question. Do you want to be a people who know their God? And in the midst of a war, in the midst where there's evil prevailing, and you know, this is what we're in at the moment. I believe we're in a spiritual war of evil where there's evil against the things of God. There's evil against the covenant and the temple and even the church. You know, there's a spiritual keeping of people away from the covenant and from the things of God. We're in that war. We must realize we're in that. But guess what? It says the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And I believe God is wanting to, He wants a people who are ready to carry out great exploits for Him. Amen. Are you guys ready for that? Do you want to carry out great exploits for God? Because I want to say to you, if you really know Him, you will carry out great exploits and you will be strong. You will resist the evil. You will not be caught up with sort of doing wickedly against the covenant, you know, corrupting the things of God. But if you know your God, you will be strong. And I believe God wants a Joshua generation. God wants us to be a Joshua generation taking the promised land. But it says here, do you know your God? Do you really know who God is in your life? So how do you know God? I want to ask you this evening, do you know your God? And first of all, if you do, you know what? You're going to carry out great exploits for Him. That's what the Word of God says. In the midst of challenge, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of evil, you're going to carry out great exploits. You're going to be strong. You're going to be strong and of good courage, just as the Lord said to Joshua. But if you don't, you know what? The spirit of the world will just win you over. You'll be won over by the spirit of the world, just like the people who did wickedly against the covenant, yeah, in Daniel chapter 11. So I want to ask you this evening, how do you know that you know God? How do you know? And that's what I want to talk to us this evening about. How do we know that we know God? How do you know God? And do you know Him? And how much do you know Him? How well do you know Him? So I guess, where should we go to find this out? I guess we should go to the Word of God. Amen. I think we should go to the Word of God, to the Bible, to find out whether we know God or not. Okay. So that's what we're going to do this evening. Just as Graham said, let's look at the Bible. Okay. That's a good place to find out, do you know that you know God? Okay, let's start. The first one is found here in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writes here, and he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. He has that word know again. We're going to hear that word a lot this evening, to know. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So the first thing that I believe for us in order to know God is we need to be rooted in His love. And I believe here tonight, I believe there are people that you know God, you've got a relationship with Him, and you know Jesus, but you know what? You're not rooted in His love. And that's a scary thing to think. But we need to ask ourselves, do we understand the love of God? Do we really, are we rooted and grounded in the love of God? Because that's what Paul says here. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. The only way that Christ can dwell in your hearts is through faith, okay? And Paul is writing here, and if you look at Ephesians chapter 3, it's in the middle of Paul's explanation of this amazing mystery. The mystery that God has chosen the Gentiles to be part of His people. It's not only the Jews, not only the people of Israel. It's this mystery that Paul himself is an ambassador for. He says, I'm an ambassador for this mystery where I'm being sent to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the people of God. And this is a great mystery because God has not only chosen the Jews. You know, some of the Jews out there still think that they're the chosen people. They're the only ones. No one else is going to go to heaven. But Paul says, this mystery is that God has chosen the Gentiles. God has chosen the people outside of Israel who are not Jews to be part of the covenant. And that is a mystery. And he's saying that the only way you can experience this is that you do it through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he has done. And then he says, yeah, not only that, he says that you're being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. So he says, yeah, he says you need to be rooted and grounded. Now, the other day I was watering a tree there in my garden. Okay? We've got a few little fruit trees, not huge trees, but I was watering this tree because it's got a little dummy key around it there and it needs to be watered. You know, the grass is watered by an electronic, sprinkler system and so on, but the trees need to be sort of, they're a bit out of the way. So I needed to water this tree, and that was especially when we bought the house, when we had this house, he planted this garden and he established, and it's all awesome, and he especially made a little dam around the tree because you need to fill this little dam with water so that the water can seep into the roots because a tree needs that water right down there in the roots. But you know, when I was looking at this tree, I thought not much is going to shake the tree. It's not a huge tree, but it's got the solid root that's into the ground and nothing much, no wind, no strong wind, maybe a huge hurricane might be able to, you know, rip it out. But you know, this tree is rooted in the ground. It's like solid. It's solid there. It's not going to be shaken by any storm or anything. And you know, that's what we need to be in the love of God. We need to be rooted and grounded in God's love. And you know what? Some of us here this evening, we haven't been rooted. We know the love of God, but you know what? You still feel like, yeah, you know, God doesn't really, I'm just sort of this other person out there. I'm just part of this crowd, and I'm not really special. But God says tonight, you are special. You need to be rooted and grounded in love to know the love of Christ. He says, yeah, and it's amazing. Listen to this. He says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, it's interesting, in the previous verse, he says, that you may be able to comprehend it, okay? So he says you may be able to comprehend, but then again, he says in verse 19, but it actually passes knowledge. Now, do you see there's a bit of a contrast there? Because when you comprehend something, you sort of have knowledge of it. But then he says, yeah, but it passes knowledge. So you know what? The love of Christ is something that you cannot figure out in your head. You comprehend it by the Spirit. You comprehend it in a mysterious way. It's the mystery that Paul speaks about, this amazing love that God has for the world, the sinful world. And I want to say to you tonight, God has got love for you. It doesn't matter how much sin you've done in your life. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what your life is at the moment, what a mess your life is in, or even how great your life is. God says that He loves you. And He says, yeah, Paul writes, and he says, the width and length and depth and height of love is just amazing. It passes knowledge, he says. You can comprehend it. But you know what? We can only comprehend it in part. The Bible says we know now in part, but one day we'll know, just as we also are known. So in other words, we sort of comprehend it, but we don't really, because it passes knowledge. But you still need to receive it by faith into your life. And that is what he's saying. He says that you may be able to comprehend this love, but you know what? You need to get your mind out the way. You know, and some of us need to come back to God and say, God, I'm sorry for how I've seen you. I'm sorry for not experiencing your love fully, because I know you and I've got a relationship with you, but it's like I'm this black sheep. You know, I'm not really special. And God is saying to every one of you guys tonight and to myself that we are all special in His kingdom. And that is what it means to know Him, to be rooted and grounded in His love. It's to know that you're special, to know that you're, you know, I say to some people, you're so unique. And then I say, just like everybody else. And then their bubbles are so blown, you know. Because it's like, you're so unique, and then I say, just like everybody else. So, but, you know, it's only a joke. But you are unique, okay? There's no one like you. So guess what? You are very special to God tonight. So God loves you. God loves you more than you will know. It's a mystery. But you still need to say, Lord, I receive it by faith. The only way I can receive it is when you receive it by faith. And look what happens then. It says here that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, once you put your mind out the way and you just say, God, by faith, I thank you for this love. I thank you that I can be rooted in your love. Then what will happen is you start to comprehend and you start to be filled with the fullness of God. It says here that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. But it starts when you understand how much God loves you. It starts the width and height and length and depth. It doesn't have limits. God's love does not have limits. So I believe there's people tonight, you just always feel like you're not really the loved one. There's other people who are more special and they've got the favor of God and they are blessed. But I believe you need to even repent tonight and say, God, I'm sorry for not experiencing your love. Because I know, Lord, if I was the only person, you would still die for me. And that's what Paul writes. He says, every one of you can be rooted in his love. And then you will start to understand the fullness of God. But you know what? Some people experience a blockage in your life. And you know why? It's because you don't really receive the love of God fully. You've given your life to him. You serve him. You're carrying on with life. But there's this thing in you. You don't understand the Father's heart for you. The Father's heart is so fully for you. And this is just the start of knowing Him. So are you excited tonight? Because to know Him, you need to first of all understand and be. Not just understand, you need to be rooted and grounded in His love. 1 John 2, verse 3. It says, now by this we know that we know Him. Yeah, it tells us very clearly, how can we know that we know God? By this, it says, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. Once again, the word know comes across quite strongly there. It says if you want to know that you know God, guess what? Keep His commandments. Do you guys know what the commandments of God are? If you can sum up the commandments of God, guess what? You can sum them up into two. Is that so? Not ten, two, because ten, the first four all about loving God. The second six are all about loving people. Okay, so you can sum the commandments and everything in the Bible, you can sum them up into pretty much two things that God says we must do. Love Him. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. And secondly, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So two commandments. So I believe, yeah, when God says we must keep His commandments, that means just those two commandments. We must love God, obey Him, and do all the things that talks about when it says loving God. And then secondly, we must love people. But I want to throw something a little bit controversial out this evening. Are you ready for that? What do you think is the most important of those two commandments? Loving God or loving people? Most of us would say the first one, loving God. But I want to say tonight that the most important of those two, and I know it's a bit controversial, but understand my heart tonight, is to love people. Why? Because, yeah, it says here, if we keep His commandments, then we know that we know Him. And if you read on in John, it goes on to say, love your brother. Talks the end of this part that John's writing about is all to say that the focus is yours on loving your brother. In other words, you cannot love God. Your love for God is only measured by one thing, and that's your love for other people. So I would say that the most important of those two is to love people. Because, you know, you and God can have a great relationship. But if that relationship does not flow out to loving others, then how can you say that you love God? And if you read the book of John, you'll see he speaks very clearly about loving God and keeping His commandments means to love one another, to love your brother, to be a blessing to other people if you just express it in a different way. Because loving someone is not a feeling. It's not something that you, oh, I feel love, you know, I'll just go and drink a coffee with someone, I will love them, you know. Love is not a feeling. Love is a doing word, and Graham confirmed it tonight. God gave. So guess what? Love is an action. Love is something that we must do. So guess how is our love measured for God? Is by how we love others. Action. You know, how do we bless other people? How do we make a difference in someone else's life? That is what keeping God's word means. And I know it's a challenge for many of us. But if you get married, and you guys who are married will understand that, you'll understand how God places someone in your life very close to you, and He says, love this person unconditionally. And you know, then you see yourself in the mirror and you see yourself failing because you don't really love this person unconditionally. It's all about you and what can you get out of this. And that's why marriage is so blessed, because it changes you. God says we must be married not just to have a great time. Yes, that too. But God wants us to be married that we can actually see how sinful we are. Because when someone comes that close to you and starts to see your weaknesses, and they're also a weak person, and they start to challenge you on things, then your love for that person, and generally your love for people, you know, do you really love people? Is it all about you and how much you can be fulfilled when you love people? Or is it truly about blessing the other person? Because many times we also love other people just to sort of feel good and to sort of do, you know, there are a lot of charity organizations out there. And yes, they're doing great jobs and they're loving people, but then it's a fulfillment of maybe the self thing, like, I just want to make a difference. I want to be good. But do we really love the people out there like Jesus loved them? Where it wasn't about Him. So this is a challenge for us this evening. You see, keeping God's word is not just about praying and having a great relationship with God. Keeping God's word talks about loving other people. It talks about, you know, how do you truly reach out to others? How do you truly bless other people? And that is how your relationship with God is ultimately measured. And that is why our small groups, I believe, are so blessed, because that's a test. Do you, when you go to small group, do you, you know, come there to bless the other person, or is it just to receive something for yourself? Do you come and, you know, you start to sharpen one another? You get to know these guys or girls in your small group, and some of the guys are challenging a bit, and it's uncomfortable, and you want to run away. And God says, no, 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 those people are placed in your life that you can understand. I've placed them there so you can love them despite the challenges that they give you or despite the hassles that they give you. Maybe you're a cell leader and you're just frustrated. But God says, just continue to love the people and then my love will show through you. My love will shine for the world to see. But you see, in our small groups, it's blessed because you start to, like in a marriage, you start to get close to people and the honeymoon phase goes away and you start to, you know, challenge one another and get into a bit of conflict. And God says that it's so great because I want you to see what is in your heart. Do you really love that person? When the challenges come, are you just going to run away from a relationship or are you going to, you know, keep push through the challenging times? And many of us, we don't understand this relationship, you know, in church I'm talking about. And that's why small groups are blessed. And I want to encourage you guys, come to a small group, start to sharpen one another, start to be a blessing, but also start to receive correction, start to receive challenging for your life, because it's the only way you're going to grow. And then your life with God and your love for God will be measured by how much you love one another. And then I believe God wants to take it further than the small groups and to go out there to challenge, not to challenge, but to really love other people, but to also challenge them about the gospel and say, let's talk about this, man. I want you to hear the good news of eternal life. And then you go out and reach out to others and bless others and step out of your comfort zone. But you see, it starts in our small groups. And when we just start to sharpen one another and just really love one another, then keeping this word of God is challenged in our lives. Because you see, you know, I used to, for many years, it was just me and God. I was involved in a church, but a very traditional church. So I just used to go to church, and that was it. It was me and God. I didn't really care about how many people were there or who was there. I sort of knew a few people, but it was just about me and God. I didn't really have a relationship with other people there. And I thought I had a great relationship with God until I met the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that now. But, you know, it was like 9 years. I was just me and God, and it's great. But, you know, I reached the point in my life where it just became, this is like mundane. Something's not happening here. I need something more. And then I realized that this love for God and this keeping His word is not just between you and God. It's between, people need to be involved in your life. And then you can test how much you truly keep God's commandments, how much you truly love God. It's when other people are around you and there's different people, weird people in your life. And it says, whoever keeps the word of God, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And this means that when you keep the word of God and you love your brother as you love yourself, then the love of God is perfected in it. Isn't that amazing? So it's all very well to be rooted and grounded in His love. And that first point is very important. And I'm not saying you must run around and not understand God. You see, God's fullness and the reason for the first commandment is because that we are selfish. You see, the reason God says, love me first, is because He needs to change us. Why? Because we don't naturally reach out to others. We are selfish. We naturally just focus on ourselves. So God says, come, you must love me. Be changed by me first, that you can understand how to reach out to others. That you understand my heart is for other people. But first, you need to be rooted and grounded in my love and experience my love. And then you can start to be a blessing to other people. But you see, we're so selfish, so God needs to change us. But His ultimate purpose is to reach others. You see, otherwise God would just take us. When we get saved and we come to Him, He just say, come to heaven. That's all you need. It's just about me and you. And God says, no, no, it's about other people out there. I want to save you for a purpose. So my love is perfected in you by your love for other people. Isn't that amazing? So keeping His word and keeping His commandments is not just about reading the Bible. Reading the Bible and coming to Bible school and doing foundations is so important. But as Pierre has said, you found out this morning, we have a purpose as a church. God wants to reach. Okay, it's not, those are the core values. But out in the front door there, you'll see the banner says we want to reach nations and generations. So we want to reach other people. It's not just about us and how well we grow and how awesome, how foundation five, we get to the fifth spiritual level and then we're so cool. The irony about it is foundation five is about reaching out. So there's a place where you get healed and you get whole and you do the legacy seminar and the liberty seminar and you get set free. But the reason you get set free is not for yourself. It's so that you can be free to love other people. Because guess what holds us back from loving others? It's our selfishness, the big I, me, myself, the unholy trinity, the I, me, and myself. It's all about me. And that is the reason God wants to make us whole. That's why we get saved in the first place, so that we can be saved of ourselves. And I believe many of us need to just look at ourselves and say that, you know, are we really living out the purposes of God? I know this is a bit challenging, but I believe to understand and to know the heart of God, this is so critical when we keep His word. But I've got good news for you tonight. I know this is a bit of a challenge, okay? And I know that God knows, and for me it's a challenge as well. And I realize to step out and to look away from yourself, believe me, as a pastor, I'm far from perfect, okay? And I get challenged on this many times where, is it not just about me? And God challenges me and says, it's not about you, it's about other people out there. It's not even just about the church. It's about, there's a whole great vision that God's called us. But you know what? He knows that there's a huge blessing, a huge challenge in our lives. He knows this. So guess what? He sent Jesus as our perfect example. And so like the Apostle Paul, we need to respond to Jesus. We need to respond to Him. And this is what Paul writes here in Philippians 3, verse 10. But just before that, Paul says, I count all things lost. Paul talks about his CV. He says he's got the biggest CV of all these apostles. He's like the apostle of the apostles. He calls himself like, he's got a CV. He's a learned man. He knows a lot of things. He's like of the tribe of Benjamin. He's really this awesome guy. But he says that I count all things lost, that I may know Christ, that I may gain Him. And then he says, yeah, that I may know Him. Once again, the word know. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to read that again. Paul says, that I may know Him. I count all these things lost. I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And he says, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but having a righteousness which is through faith in Christ. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. So the only reason Paul writes is you can know Him is when you understand the power of His resurrection. He says, yeah, the fellowship of His sufferings. So two things. He says, that I may know Christ. But what is part of knowing Christ? First of all, is understanding and knowing the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know what Paul is writing here about? Lots of things. But one of the things he's writing is that we must start to identify with Jesus Christ. And you know what that means? That we're going to go through a little bit of suffering. We're going to go through challenges, that we can be stripped of the self, that we can be stripped of the things which keep us back. That is one of the things. But another thing that I see Paul writing here is he's actually talking about baptism in water. Identification with Christ. Two things that I'm going to talk about tonight is, first of all, how to identify with Christ is, first of all, baptism in water. And that is why it's so important. When we get baptized in water, it's a public declaration that Jesus' death and resurrection is not just for you. And that's why when we do baptisms, we like to invite everyone, because we say, come and share in the public declaration that this person is making, that Jesus has died not only for myself, but He's died for the whole world. So I'm doing it publicly because I want to let you know, family and friends and whoever's coming, I want you to know that I'm doing this because Jesus did it not only for me, but He did it for everyone. I want to do it publicly. So Paul says here that he says, I want to know the power of His resurrection. And the part of that is where Jesus died and He was buried for 3 days. It's death, burial, and then resurrection. In other words, when you get baptized in water, that's what you do. So now, some of you guys will know how we do it in Shofar is we say to you guys, okay, we're going to baptize you now because while the old life is dying, And there has to be a burial. There has to be sort of this burial that Jesus went through. He was in the earth for 3 days. So what we'll do in the water is we'll just hold you down under the water for 7 or 8 minutes, okay? Just until you make sure that you're dead, okay? And then we just raise the people from the dead again, okay? So now I'm sure no one is going to get baptized in our church, okay? No, we don't do that. It's just a symbol. It's just a symbol of the death of Jesus. The burial, in other words, he was in the earth 3 days. The old life has died. Jesus didn't need to do it. He did it for us. He died so that all the sin of the world can also be buried. Okay, so baptism talks about the death, the dying of the old self. And then what it also means, the burial. That's why you go down under the water. You say, I'm leaving this old life. I'm burying it now. And it's not going to rise. The old man is not going to stand up again. And when you come out of that water, I don't know if you guys have seen people being baptized. But it's just so awesome. There's, you can see literally on the person's face, there's a new person. A new person has come out of that water. And that is what Paul is talking about here, is the resurrection of Christ. You need to understand the fellowship of his sufferings. You need to understand his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You need to identify with him. And one of the reasons, one of the ways that God has given us this to do is to be baptized in water. So I want to encourage you guys, if you haven't been baptized and you've given your life to the Lord, don't worry that you didn't do it when you got saved. I also walked 9 years where I got saved. I knew I was going to heaven. But I only got baptized 9 years later. And, it changed my life. It just reaffirmed the commitment I'd already made to Jesus 9 years ago. But I can tell you, I came out a new person. And there was fruits that were evident in my life from when I did that. And from when I did the second thing, which I'll get to now. But I believe that we need to be baptized in order to identify with Jesus. In order to identify with his, where we say, I'm laying down my life. And there are going to be challenges. But I'm laying down my life for Christ. In order to know him. That I may know him. And it's also a public thing. It's that you realize that it's not just about you. And that's the one thing that you have to lay down. That we all have to lay down is it's not about me. And sometimes we still go to baptisms and we think, oh, it's all about me. Look how I'm getting baptized. It's not. It's all about what Jesus did. And he did it for you and he did it for every single person out there. So when you publicly declare, you just say to the world, you guys out there also can also take part in what I'm experiencing now. And I'm going to go out and bear fruit for your kingdom. I'm going to go out and be a blessing out there. And baptize others. And that's one of the commission of Jesus. He said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I've shown you. But baptism is so important for identifying with Jesus Christ. And you know, I don't know about you guys, but many times in a baptism service, and I want to encourage some of you this evening, maybe some of you haven't been baptized and you're so unsure about it. You're like waiting for God to speak to you. You know, I've been to a couple of baptism services and I've seen how the people, they're just doing it out of obedience. They're not sure, like, is this really right? They're sure it's right, but they're like, their feelings aren't there. It's like they testify, they say, I'm just doing it out of obedience. It's like, they're sort of half excited about it, but not really excited about it. But when they come out of that water, there's just they just know why they did this. They just know, and there was a bit of uncertainty before, but you know, the obedience led to a blessing. God blesses obedience. When our feelings are not fully in it, maybe, we're not fully excited, we just know I'm obeying the word of God. And then when they come out of that water, it's like, why didn't I do this 10 years ago kind of thing? You know, this is just so right. Because there's a spiritual deposit that happens when you identify with the death and resurrection of Jesus. You're sealed. You're sealed by Christ himself. When you say, Jesus, I'm identifying with you. And the second thing that God has given us to do in order to identify with him is found here in John. John 14, and Jesus here talking to his disciples. And in verse 15, I haven't put it up there, but verse 15, he says to his disciples exactly what we're talking about tonight. He says to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he doesn't stop there. He realizes that this is a big challenge for the disciples. He says, how are you going to love me and keep my commandments is a big challenge. But guess what? I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. He says, disciples, I understand that you guys are not going to be able to do this on your own. So guess what? I'm going to leave, and I'm going to give you another helper. And he's going to abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But guess what? You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know what that talks about is the disciples know him. He's saying, Jesus is saying, yeah, my Spirit is with you. Yeah, he's dwelling with you in the form of me. But guess what? He's going to abide with you forever. When I go away, he's going to be in you. He's going to abide with you forever. And that is the second way that we can identify with Jesus, is through baptism in the Holy Spirit, where we receive the Holy Spirit. Just like the first disciples did at Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out and there was power, immediate power, lives were changed. But you see, baptism in the Holy Spirit is the second most important, the second thing, the most, one of the two most important things that Jesus has called us to do, to identify with Him. And there are many believers out there that are walking around that don't know the fullness of the Spirit. They know Jesus and love Him. But you know, there's just not a fruit evident of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you can't have half of me. You've either got all of me or you've got nothing. So don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Because to have both feet in the kingdom, you need to be baptized in water. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is the truth tonight, people. And I know it's challenging many of our mindsets. It's challenging even the mindsets of this nation, strongholds of this nation, where you can serve God, but you can sort of just, you know, half be half in God and half in the world, and that's fine, as long as you're just serving God. But you see, if we just know Jesus and we don't know the fullness of His Spirit, because He said, in order to identify with me, you've got to receive the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised me from the dead. Jesus is saying that to us today. The one who raised me from the dead was the Holy Spirit. And guess what? I've given Him to you. I poured Him out 2,000 years ago. When I left, I said to you, I will not leave you orphans. I'll not leave you alone. I'll pour the Spirit out for you to receive. And immediately signs and wonders followed those who believed and those who received the Spirit. And so you see, it's the same Spirit that not only empowered Jesus, not only raised Him from the dead, the same Spirit is available to us, and God wants us to stir it up. But I believe even in this room, there are many people you've been filled with the Spirit. And I believe God wants to start to stir up those gifts again. He wants to start to stir up the fullness of the Spirit in you, because you're not operating in the gifts. You know, it doesn't help to have the Spirit, but you don't stir it up. Paul writes, and that's why I read the book of Corinthians, where he talks about the fullness of the Spirit in 12, 13, and 14, where love is in the middle. He says, love is so important. You've got to operate out of love. But you know what? He says, stir up the gifts of the Spirit. And it's something that, and I'm even challenged on this many times. We go through church programs and structures, and, you know, life is the same old. We know what to do. It's very predictable. But when you start to live in the Holy Spirit, then signs and wonders follow. Things happen that you're not in control anymore. The Spirit of God is in control. But you know what holds us back? Is when we want to be in control. And you know what? We don't fully identify with Jesus when we don't let go. And one of the things that we need to do is to say, Lord, I repent. I'm holding on. I'm not allowing you to be in control. Many of us are in control of our own lives. We just want to go through life very predictable because it's comfortable. And that's how we as humans, we live like that. And God knows that. And that's why His love is so powerful tonight that He wants to say to you, just come and receive my Spirit. Come and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what? Signs and wonders will follow you. Isn't that good news for some of us this evening? Just shake someone next to you and say, we're going somewhere this evening. Because I'm only getting warmed up. I'm only starting to get going. I'm only joking. I'm almost finished. The last one that I want to focus on this evening. When it comes to knowing Christ, knowing Him, knowing God the Father, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing the Holy Spirit, is here found in Ephesians 1. Paul is writing here again to the Ephesians, and he says, just before that, the few verses before that, he says that I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. In other words, he says, I understand that you guys have been saved. You guys know, and he's writing to believers here, obviously. He says, I know that you have faith in the Lord Jesus, that you love all the saints. You love all the people around you. And you understand the fullness you've identified, you know, with in baptism, and you've been filled with the Spirit. But then he says something interesting here. He says, I want to pray for you guys. He says, I want to pray, first of all, a couple of things here from verse 17 to 23. There are a couple of things I just want to go through quickly. He says, I want to pray for you that, first of all, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's the first thing he says. And he's talking obviously about the Holy Spirit, but he says, having the Holy Spirit, you need to trust God. And I want to pray for you guys that you receive the wisdom and revelation of this Holy Spirit and of the knowledge of Him. You need to grow, in other words. He's saying revelation and wisdom come through a process of growth. It's not just downpoured and you understand everything. But in order to know Christ, one of the things that we need to do is grow. And that's why we have our courses. That's why we have foundations and Bible school and all the stuff we do, small groups, and we have outreaches and so on. We want people to grow. It's all about growth. And so Paul writes here, but he says, I want you to trust God and to pray and to ask God for this wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, Paul says, I want you guys to grow in the knowledge of Christ. I know you know Christ, but you know what? You know Him very little. But I want you to grow. And only the Holy Spirit can give you this wisdom and revelation that you need. But you see, in order to know Christ, we need to first of all grow in the knowledge of Him. And it's not only knowing about Him. It's knowing Him deeply, knowing Him intimately. Knowing Him in every part of our lives. You see, sometimes part of our lives aren't surrendered to Christ. Not fully. Because in some area we just see God is moving and we've surrendered that area. But in other areas of our lives, you know, Christ is just knocking at the door. But He says, I want you to, through wisdom and revelation, you need to know Him in every area. And then you need to start to grow in His knowledge. Secondly, He goes on and He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Interesting, yeah, it says the hope of His calling, not the hope of your calling. You see, it's His calling, but it's on your life. But you know what? It's not your calling, it's His calling. So when your calling starts to become His calling, then you can say, Lord, my life is about You. But many times we focused on our own callings. You see, it's all about what I can achieve and what I can do for the kingdom, and that's great and everything. But God says here, in His Word, it's the hope of His calling, the calling that Jesus has placed on your life. And it's actually, in the end, His calling to reach the world out there. So another way to know Jesus better is to start to grow and to understand. And yeah, it's interesting. He says the eyes of your understanding. In other words, it's a spiritual thing that must happen. You know, the eyes of your spirit needs to be open to this. It's not just something that you can figure out in the natural. It's a revelation that comes through knowing the fullness of God. And then not only knowing it, but growing in it. Growing in the calling. And it's a hope. It's an awesome hope that we can have. It's the hope of His calling. It's a great hope. We can get excited about this. Hope is something that we can get excited about. When we hope for something, wouldn't you agree, when you sort of hope for something, you're quite excited about it. You don't hope for negative stuff. You hope for positive things. You hope is a really positive thing. And He says, yeah, the hope of His calling. In other words, it's a positive thing to grow in the knowledge and to grow in the understanding of this calling for your life. And it's His calling. Note, it's not yours. Thirdly, He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling, and that you may know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. In other words, you need to grow in the knowledge of your inheritance. You have an inheritance that's waiting for you. And I preached about it a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about taking possession. But you see, it's not something that we can just do over two or three Sundays and there you know your inheritance. The inheritance is so rich. It's so full. And Paul says that's what I'm praying for you, Ephesians. I want you to know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance. And it says there specifically in the saints. In other words, He says your inheritance is not outside of the church. Your inheritance is within the church, within the body of Christ as a whole. Isn't that exciting? So we can just turn to someone and just give them a hug there and say, you know, I'm with you in this inheritance. Turn to someone next to you. Say to someone, you're excited because this inheritance is not for you alone. It's for the person next to you and the person next to you. And many people are still going to come in. They're going to find this inheritance. They're going to find excitement in knowing Christ and then in growing in their inheritance in the saints. Isn't this amazing? God's plan is not for anything else but the church to stand up and to proclaim His glory. Isn't that amazing? That's why we're doing this tonight. We're not doing this because it's a Sunday thing or a religious thing. This is God's plan. We are part of God's plan. That should excite you to come to church and to also bring others to this knowledge and to get others not in to fill up seats and to make numbers here, but because people are missing their callings. Why? Because they don't know Him. They don't know the Father of all who's called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. We're talking about power here. Growth in His power. What does He go on to say? He says, what is the exceeding greatness? He says, I want you to know this, Ephesians. I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And this is a sermon on its own, but I'm just highlighting this. I'm just putting it out there. Maybe I'll carry on preaching about all these five things when it comes to growth next week. But this is just something that God wants us to grow in, is a knowledge of the greatness of His power towards us. It's not against us. It's not sort of partly towards us and partly away from us. It's fully towards us, the greatness of His power. But we must just believe. And you know what? I talked about it earlier. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. And that's exciting to grow in. And we don't need to put pressure on ourselves and say, it's so bad, or we haven't experienced this power, so are we ever going to do it? No, He just says, just grow in it. But desire it. If you really want to desire it, you can have it. But Paul just says, I pray that you may, that your eyes may open to understand the fullness of God. And then lastly, he says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Isn't this exciting? Once again, talking about the growth in his family. God wants us as a church to grow and to understand who the church really is. That Jesus is the head of the church. And he has been placed at the head and he has given all things under his feet. And he says, I want you to know who my family is. It doesn't help having a relationship with just the head. You know, imagine that you have a relationship with just the head of a person, but you forget about their body. You know, you just want to always separate the, I want to see the head, but you know, the body must just wait outside. I'm having a meeting with the head now. When you have a meeting with someone and have fellowship and have friendship with someone and see someone, it's the whole person, the head and the body. So that's what Jesus says. He says, in order to know me, you must know my family. You must start to grow and be excited about my family. Be excited about my body. In other words, it's not just Shofar, it's all the other churches out there. But you know what? It's important also to know that this family, if you've been called down, it was such a blessing to have you guys this morning just commit. I could see your hearts to commit to Shofar and say, this is, I'm serving here until God moves me on. But that's why we love doing the foundations, because we want to know, we want to give up people an opportunity to say, yeah, here I am. I want to commit to this body. I'm not only serving the body of Christ as a whole, I'm committing to this body. And I'm not only serving Jesus as my head, I'm serving the body. And you know how many people out there are offended with the church? And they have a great relationship with the head of the church, Jesus. But you know, the body, they are just frustrated with the body of Christ. You know what? The body of Christ is a challenge. People are a challenge. People have got their issues and people are people. But that is why Christ has called us to lay down our lives and to say, in order to know him, we need to know his love, and that his love, the root that when we're rooted and grounded in his love, people's issues and people's stuff won't, you know, offend us and won't get us down. But so many people have allowed offense to creep in because leaders and other people have just been wrong. Yes, they're wrong. But you know what? God places leaders in authority and he's in control. And he tests us. He tests our submission many times to leaders who are not very easy to submit to. But he's called us not to be offended with his family. He's called us to love his family and to grow. Because it says that the fullness of him who fills all in all. His fullness, God's fullness is manifest through us. Through you and me as believers. And then even more, when we come together, there's an anointing. That's why we come to church. That's why we don't just meet in small groups every week. We meet in the big church because there's an anointing. There's a corporate fellowship that happens. And people are edified. People are built up that we can go into the week knowing we have a family that backs us. We have people that are praying for us. And we can face the challenges of life. But we can come home on a Sunday again and be filled up and be joyful in the presence of God. Isn't that amazing? That's the family. And God wants us to be a family. And many times the church is very dysfunctional. We're not a family. We're on a mission and we just left, right, shooting from the hip. And we kill a few saints along the way. And you know, but God is busy. He's busy molding us into a family. He's busy molding us into love. You know, when we love one another and we experience the love of Christ right here in the body. And then people can come and they can be edified and be filled up. And people can be excited. And I want you guys that are visiting tonight, I really want you to, if you feel that God has called you here, join in. It's fun. We're going somewhere. But it's, you know, you've got to also lay down your life. It's not just you're adding your life here just as it was and you're carrying on. This is a place where you need to say, I'm counting the cost. Am I going to lay down my life for the cause of Christ or not? I'm done this evening, so I just want the band to come up as we just really reflect on what God has said to us. You say, I want to ask you a final question. Don't get distracted now. They just need to take their positions up here. But I just really want to ask you, how well do you know your God this evening? How well do you know your God this evening? Because you know what? Part of the meaning of the word know, and this was very interesting to me, in that passage on Daniel where it says, those who know their God shall do great exploits. Part of the definition of that meaning, know, that word know, means to make known. If you really know something, you will make something known. Isn't that true? If you're really passionate about someone, talk to someone who's passionate about something. Talk to TNC about music and about his guitar. He will tell you about his new guitar. He will tell you about how awesome it is to make music. Because you see, he knows it. And he agrees with me. But if you really know something, you will talk about it. You will make it known. You see, if you talk to Liz Marie about making dresses, she will tell you about making dresses. She will make it known because there's a passion in her heart for that. There's a passion in her heart. If you talk to my wife about raising kids, she will tell you how to raise kids. She's excited about raising our second one. And she's done a fantastic job so far of raising our first one. He's an awesome little boy, going to change the world. He's very on the go, so we have to discipline him and rein him in a bit. But he just wants to run out to the streets and tell people about Jesus. And sing to them as well and play some drums. But you see, if my wife, you talk to her about traveling, she'll tell you about many nations to go to in the world. And she's passionate about traveling. But you know what? She's not just going to keep that to herself. If she hears people might travel, she says, come book your stuff with me. I'll organize you the best honeymoon, the best holiday. She will tell you about it because she's passionate about it. If you want to know something about something, go to someone who's passionate about that thing and they will make it known to you. You see, if you know something, you will make it known. And if you're passionate about something or someone, you will make that thing or that person, you will make them known. If you've got a new boyfriend or girlfriend, you're going to make sure the world out there knows this is your partner. This is your possibly future wife or husband. You will make it known. You're not just going to keep it to yourselves. You're going to tell people. If you're really passionate about something, you're going to make it known. And it's the same with Jesus. So I want to ask you this evening, and I ask myself as well, are we all going to make Jesus famous? Are we going to make Jesus famous? Are we going to make Him known? Because if He's really a passion in our lives, if we know Him and we understand how much He loves us, we understand and we start to identify with His death and resurrection and understand, and yes, our minds won't understand it fully, but if we start to grasp this excitement of knowing Christ, guess what? We're going to make Him known. And you know what? The eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro all across the earth looking for those who are found faithful, for those who know me, says Jesus, but also who are making me know. So it's just a challenge for us this evening. I believe it's exciting. I believe life starts to happen when we do this, when we start to live the gospel and also know Christ, but then make Him known. So I want us all to just stand this evening because I believe God wants to do business with us. It's not just about a great sermon. As I said, it is so important, like the Apostle Paul, where he urges the Ephesians and he writes to the Philippians and he says, you know, to know Christ, you've got to identify with Him. You've got to respond. In other words, Christ has given you the opportunity, but there's a response that Jesus demands from us. So Lord, I thank You this evening for Your word. Lord, I thank You that we can just know You, Lord, and we realize tonight we know You so little, Lord. But Lord, what an adventure it is to get to know You, Lord, to grow on this path of salvation, Lord, where You started the born-again process in many of our lives. But Lord, what a privilege it is to get to know You better. And we realize tonight, God, that we are so far, Lord, from knowing You fully. But Lord, thank You that Your grace is enough and that You just want us in, Lord. You want us to forsake everything and to follow You as You called the disciples when they just left their fishing rods and they left everything following You. So I thank You tonight that we can all, Lord, lay down our lives and we can all say, Jesus, we realize that in order to know You, Lord, we must first of all forsake our lives, deny ourselves, take up our crosses, follow You, Lord. And then when we start to experience that passion, Lord, we cannot help but make You known, Lord. And just take others along with us as we make You known in this world, Lord. So we praise You tonight, Lord. Thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You that Your word changes us, Lord. Your word is eternal, Lord. It never returns void. And so, Lord, even right now, as hearts are just responding, and I just sense You must just allow God. Don't look around right now. All of our eyes are closed. God is just working in each and every one of your hearts. And God just wants you to be honest with where you're at right now. He doesn't want you to wander off the path. He wants you to be honest with where you're at. Because the only way you're going to remain is to say, Jesus, I'm honest with You. And maybe you can't even pray that prayer tonight. Maybe you can't even call upon the name of Jesus because you've never met the lover of your soul. You've never met that Jesus who so longs to just have relationship and fellowship with you. So if that's you this evening and you know that you don't know the Jesus that I'm talking about this evening, this Jesus who calls us to radical Christianity, radical laying down of our lives, if you've never made a commitment to Him, or maybe you have and you've drifted from Him, but you don't feel like you're in connection with Him, you feel like you can't hear His voice, you sort of try to speak to Him, but you can't really pray because it feels like religion to you. It feels like you're doing this because a book says you must do it or someone has told you to do it, but there's a relationship lacking. And I want to encourage you tonight. That relationship can start supernaturally when Jesus just says, come, give your life to me, I will change your life. So maybe there's someone like that this evening. I just want you to be very bold and say, Alistair, I want this relationship. I've known religion all my life and I've gone to church, but you know what? Church is not going to make you a good person. And a good person is not going to get you into heaven. Believers go to heaven. You need to be a believer. You need to just say, Jesus, I believe in you tonight. You need to confess it. Romans 10 verse 8 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So tonight, all you need to do is just confess. And that's why I'm asking you, I want to pray with you this evening. Is there anyone like that this evening? You know that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't know him as the lover of your soul this evening. One last opportunity. I just want you to raise your hand high. No one's looking around. All believers are praying right now. If you can pray in the Spirit right now, because there's a battle going on for souls. There's always a battle for souls. And whenever the word is preached, it's challenging darkness to flee. So if there's anyone like that, you know that you need relationship with Jesus tonight. You know that your life isn't where it's supposed to be. Your life is a mess. And you're actually bluffing yourself by saying you are following Jesus, because following Jesus, you know that. It's not like you're unsure. And maybe you're unsure tonight. Then I just want you to be honest. Raise your hand. Jesus is here to touch you. We're just going to give it a few more seconds. I don't want to pressure you, but this is the greatest invitation of life. You'll never get a better invitation than this, where your life, eternal life, happens. And you move from darkness into light. You move from the temporal into the eternal. Right here. Just with the fact that you confess. And you first of all need to repent and say, I cannot save myself. So is there anyone? Last call this evening. Then I know that I'm speaking to believers here this evening. So all of us are believers. So I know that there's some people here this evening. I believe you know the Lord Jesus, but you're not rooted in his love. You've been hurt many times by people. You've been hurt many times. And the love of God has grown cold in your life. And you need to be honest with that this evening. You need to just say, Lord, I'm sorry for not allowing your love to change me, because I've got bitterness. I've got hurt in my life that's blocking. And therefore, I can't be rooted in love, because the love of God says you must forgive. And maybe you haven't forgiven people tonight in your life. Then that's one way you can be more rooted in love. In fact, not more, you can be rooted, because if you're not rooted in love, you're not forgiving, you can't have that. You can't be rooted and not forgive. Because rooted in the love of Christ, you will know to forgive. And that for me is the great test of how we understand God's love. Is how we understand how much he's forgiven us, when he's forgiven us all our sins. And we ought to do the same. So I believe someone needs to just need to give me, I'm not going to call you forward, but I just want you to indicate, I want to pray with you right now, because you know you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards other people. Is there anyone like that this evening? Just acknowledge it to God. You're not doing it to me. I just want to pray for God's freedom over your life. You know you've got unforgiveness this evening. Don't be shy. Just raise your hand. Just show me boldly. God wants to touch you this evening. You know there's butterflies in your stomach right now. You know that you've got to put up your hand. So just put up your hand quickly. God wants to deliver you right now. He's going to do it as you just confess. And you just say, that's me. I need God's love to forgive me. Because I'm bitter towards people. Anyone like that this evening? Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else? Just be honest. Thank you, Lord, for just your release over that life right now. Thank you for your complete forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, that you minister right now a peace, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for a peace to come across that young man's life, Lord. I thank you for complete freedom right now. Thank you that he can also choose to forgive in the name of Jesus, that he can forgive people and forgive that person that's hurt him, that bitterness that's caused just a blockage in your love. And I thank you for rootedness in your love right now in his life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then lastly, I just feel if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come afterwards. But you don't know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And you're walking with Jesus and you're like me many years of your life where there's no fruit. There's no identification with Jesus and with his Spirit. Because he says, if you know me, you'll know the fullness of my Spirit. Then you need to just come forward, and I would love to pray with you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. All you need to do is just to say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your Spirit, and I receive the fullness of your Spirit. So I'm going to wait here at the front and pray for people who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's, once again, just a matter of believing and then saying, Lord, I receive your spirit, and God will baptize you. He's done it here. Every night that we've prayed for people, God has filled people with the Spirit. God is faithful to His Word. It's not about us. He does it, but He wants us to pray for you because you cannot do it on your own. You don't have the faith. And we're going to pray with you just to say, this is how we can fill you. We can facilitate the filling of the Spirit. God does it. But if you really want that tonight, you can have it. The fullness of the Spirit is right here.